Good morning and welcome to the Lord's house this morning as we're privileged to offer worship and praise to God on this Lord's Day. We would like to encourage you to please sign the registration pad and pass that on to your neighbor if you will. And in your bulletin, please be aware of the activities taking place in the life of the church. We have that Food for Fines program with the Mid-Continent Library System. And of course, CWF Steering Committee meeting is tomorrow. And the elders and deacons are meeting this coming Thursday evening. There's also that announcement about the 5K run, if we have anyone interested in participating in that. And again, we have that registration form there on the back table for that. And also immediately after the service today, please join us for that spaghetti lunch sponsored by the Outreach Committee. It is a fundraiser and the proceeds will support that weekend food bag program that has been going on in the life of our church here for over 20 years and provides about 20 weekend meals every school week for children in need at the early childhood school, which is over off of Antioch. So we are delighted to support that. And by the way, that support takes about $400 a month. And we've been doing that for over 20 years. So we're so grateful for your support of that. I think that's all we need to lift up, Ryan. So we ask you to lead us in our call to worship.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I invite you to stand for the call to worship. You, Lord, are all we have, and you give us all we need.
Our future is in your hands.
How wonderful are your gifts to us. How good they are.
You show us the path that leads to life. Your presence fills us with joy.
And brings us pleasure forever. We'll now sing hymn number 408, all stanzas of Come Share the Lord.
We gather here in Jesus' name. His love is burning in our hearts like living flame. For through the loving Son, the Father makes us one. Come take the bread, come drink the wine, come share the Lord. No one is a stranger here. Everyone belongs. Finding our forgiveness here, we in turn forgive all wrongs. He joins us here. He breaks the bread. The Lord who pours the cup is risen from the dead. The one we love the most is now our gracious host. Come take the bread, come drink the wine, come share the Lord. We are now a family, of which the Lord is head. Though unseen, he meets us here in the breaking of the bread. We'll gather soon where angels sing. We'll see the glory of our Lord and coming King. Now we anticipate the feast for which we wait. Come take the bread, come drink the wine, come share the Lord.
May we pray. Holy and gracious God, as Christ has redeemed us from sin and given us new life, not only in the eternal, but in the here and now, we give thanks for the joy of being of service to your kingdom's glory through our work, worship, and praise to you. We seek your Spirit's guidance as we offer you praise this Lord's Day morning, for it is in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be.
Please take a moment to greet your neighbors. May our children come forward for the children's message, please.
Tell me the stories of Jesus I love to hear. Things I would ask him to tell me if he were here. Scenes by the way. Tales of the sea, stories of Jesus, tell them to me.
Well, good morning. How are you guys this morning? Y'all good? Yeah? Okay. Well, did you know that over 100 places in the Bible that it tells us to beware of false teachers? There is. And you know, the only way to know if somebody's trying to teach you something that isn't in the Bible is how? To read the Bible, huh? You got to read and study the Bible to know what's in the Bible. Makes sense, right? We have had all summer long, we have had a little challenge going for some of our kids, and it was memorizing some of the books of the Bible. Now, this was completely, it was up to them whether they did it or not. A lot of kids were on a lot of vacations, so they missed a lot. But we have two that remembered books of the Bible, and they have earned a little reward because of it. So, Miss Dagny Wilson has earned a Noah's Ark animal balance game. Yay! It's his, but I want to show it first. We got to show everybody. And Miss Troy has earned the Heroes of the Bible card game. And we've started new attendance challenges for our children and new memory verse challenges in children's church. So we spend a lot of time learning about our Bible, don't we? Learning so that we know truth. God's truth, right? Okay, we're going to do something a little bit different today. How about if we come down and get in a circle and have a prayer circle for our closing prayer? Can we do that? Can we come and stand right down here, please? Yeah. Yeah, can we do that? Get in a circle. Yep, yep. Hold hands. Oh, I know. Hold the girls' hands. They won't bite you, really. You can come over here by me, Mr. Mateo, if you like. Would you like to come over by me? Okay. All right, can I have your hand? Can I hold your hand? Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for these children. We thank you for the opportunity to grow and learn in your word by learning the Bible. Please help us as we go day to day. Keep us safe and keep us in your love and grace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Many thanks, Kathy, and thanks to our children and their achievements for sure. As we go to God in prayer, we want to lift up for Gerald Brown, one of our former pastors here in Kansas City, his son, Bob Brown, who's been injured in an auto accident recently. We seek God's blessing for his recovery. Our sympathy is also extended to Doug and Lynn Fleming with the passing of Doug's mother, Marjorie Fleming, and also to Ann Jones with the passing of her niece, Jennifer Vallejo, both this past week. Also, we want to continue in our prayers Ruth Ann Solomon, as she's had some health concerns that have arisen, as we also keep in prayer her daughter, Rihanna. And Leonard, we're delighted you are here with us this morning. Bless you, Leonard, as we keep Vicki in our prayers, as she is now in the Mid-America Rehabilitation Hospital over in Overland Park. We also lift up from the Newmark Care Center, Jill Gregory, and also Bob and Judy Settles. We keep in prayer also Randy Squires and Jerry, you and Betty. As we know, Jerry and Randy are both in that search process with the research hospital for the kidney transplant. Also, we are delighted, Sam and Jane, that Melanie is out of rehabilitation. We just keep her in prayer in the midst of her recovery. And certainly there's a number of other folks that we've been continuing to keep in prayer, including Katie Turner's uncle, Tony, Sam Bartley's son, Johnny, Perla Morris' niece, Michelle, Lana Witten's granddaughter, Samantha, and her daughter, Beth, and Luella Scott's niece, Michelle, among others that we've been keeping in prayer day by day. May we bow our heads before the Lord's presence this morning. Merciful and loving God, we are honored to be in your house of worship this Lord's Day morning. We are blessed by your Holy Spirit's presence. For Matthew 18, verse 23 reminds us that where two or three are gathered together in your name, there you are in the midst of them. And we are blessed also by the daily guidance of your Holy Spirit for each and every one of us. For John 16, verse 13 tells us that as the Spirit of truth comes, he guides us into all truth. The threats of yet another hurricane in the Atlantic and the most recent earthquake that caused destruction this weekend in Morocco and many other recent disasters remind us, O God, that life here on earth is indeed precarious and fallible. Yet even as we lift up to you the needs of so many, we also find assurance in the redemption that we receive by your great grace, even as your Son Jesus became our Lord and Savior. And as each of us go about the task set before us each day, may it be with the conviction of Christ that we strive to be as Christ-like as we can be in word and deed. For as Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved us and gave himself for us. It is therefore in Christ's name that we offer this prayer, as we also recite the prayer our Lord Jesus teaches us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. is a joy to have our choir back, isn't it? We praise God. Thank you. Praise God. Thank you. Thank you so much. From as far back as 1896 until the late 1980s, many people diligently filled up books with S&H green stamps. For many of us years ago, they were given every time we filled up our gas tanks with certain brands of gasoline. And after so many booklets were filled, those stamp collections were redeemable for any number of household items. The kitchens of several churches I served over the years even had collections of water glasses and various other kitchenware items that were acquired by a significant number of church members, collectively focusing their efforts on acquiring particular S&H items for church use. As we gather around the Lord's table, though, this morning, may we be mindful of the bread and the cup that symbolize the sacrifice that our Lord Jesus made so that our souls may be redeemed from sin and even death itself. As the latter portion of Matthew chapter 20, verse 28 tells us, the Son of Man came to be a ransom for many, and therefore we prepare our hearts to receive God's great grace. As we turn to our communion hymn, it's number 413. We'll sing both stanzas of Take Our Bread.
Take our bread, we ask you, take our hearts, we love you, take our lives. O Father, we are yours, we are yours. Yours as we stand at the table you set, yours as we eat the bread our hearts can't forget. We are the sign of your life with us yet. We are yours, we are yours. Take our bread, we ask you, take our hearts. We love you, take our lives. O Father, we are yours, we are yours. Your holy people standing washed in your blood, Spirit-filled yet hungry, we await your food. We are poor, but we've brought ourselves the best that we could. We are yours, we are yours. Take our bread, we ask you, take our hearts, we love you, take our lives. O Father, we are yours, we are yours.
As we gather at the Lord's table, we again remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to them, saying, 'This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me.' And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." May we bow our heads as Jerry leads us in a word of prayer, please.
Heavenly Father, in humility and thankful hearts, we gather at this table today. We thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, through which we have the promise of eternal life. We ask that you bless this bread, which represents his broken body, and this cup, which represents his blood. Grant us courage and strength that all we say and do may be acceptable to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And these are the gifts of God for the people of God, and we welcome you to share this morning. Jesus teaches us in Luke chapter 6, verse 35, to do good and to lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will indeed be great. With these thoughts in mind from Scripture, we receive our tithes and offerings as Peggy first leads us in a word of prayer.
Dear God, we are thankful to be here in your house this morning to worship. We are grateful for the many blessings that we have received. As we come to you this morning with our tithes and our offerings, we pray that they be a blessing to those in need and to spread the word around the world. Dear Lord, please bless these gifts and the givers. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Lord God, we pray this offering may be used for your glory, now and always. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Please be seated. Scripture text I share with you this morning, Zechariah's prophecy from Luke chapter 1, beginning with that 68th verse. Let us praise the Lord, the God of Israel, who has come to the help of his people and has set them free. He has provided for us a mighty Savior, a descendant of the servant David. Our God is merciful and tender. He will cause the bright dawn of salvation to rise on us and to shine from heaven on all those who live in the dark shadow of death, to guide our steps into the path of peace. May we pray. Merciful and holy God, we're indeed grateful for the truth that we are redeemed through Christ. And redemption is not only in the hereafter, but redemption can even be ours in the day-to-day living of our lives here on earth. For these truths we give thanks in Christ's name. Amen. Maybe you've already caught on. The theme for the day is redemption, is it not? I've been trying to allude to that in various things I've been talking about with the prayer and certainly with the brief message before the Lord's Supper. But redemption, the spiritual meaning of it, is the action of being saved from sin, error, or evil. And the Bible teaches us that we are indeed spiritually redeemed by the great grace of God as Christ came into the world and became that final sacrificial lamb for the forgiveness of our sin. But I would propose to you that even as we await for that day of spiritual redemption, we must also realize that we can experience redemption from many deficiencies and difficulties in the here and now. And that's part of my focus today. And so I want to offer to you a couple of stories that show us how we can experience genuine redemption, not only in the spiritual realm, but certainly even redemption in the midst of daily living. Now, of course, these are stories that are more current, you know, whereas we know that most of our stories in the Bible are from, you know, centuries ago. But sometimes I think we gotta kind of, you know, not just use the Bible, but also look at the stories of experience between people in the here and now, and how they have been touched by lives of people of faith and certainly by the guidance of God's Word. And so I begin by sharing with you the story of David. He was 10 years of age. He was employed in the cotton mills 6 days a week, long before the days of child labor laws. His 14-hour days began at 6 o'clock in the morning and did not end until 8 p.m. You know, we just can't imagine what it'd be like to have to live a life where that much of your time, 6 a.m. to 8 p.m., 6 days a week, week after week after week, is committed to the task of monotonous labor. But his income was desperately needed for his family. David's father worked as a traveling salesman, but his income, like that of so many other people of the day, was meager. And David's father, Neil, he was a devoted follower of Christ, and even with what little time he had off, he taught Sunday school on Sundays, and he loved to read the Bible and works of theology. In what little time Neil and his son David had to share with one another, their discussions often were focused on godly matters. And because of the father's interest, young David also became an avid reader. He not only was deeply interested in God, but greatly intrigued by science and biology. And because of this family upbringing, David was aspiring to one day become a missionary doctor in Africa. And even though he worked 6 days a week, 6 a.m. to 8 p.m., his evenings were absorbed in study in the village's evening classes and also at home. Can you imagine working that kind of schedule day in, day out? You know, most folks, I think, would just say, well, you know, I'm just stuck here. This is just going to be my life. This is my plight. Here it is. I don't have time for anything else. Haven't we heard that before? But imagine the discipline of not only working those 14 hours of monotonous, repetitive labor in the cotton mill, but also studying hour after hour by candlelight. And with the encouragement of his family and help from others in the community, young David persisted. A working knowledge of Latin was required to attend medical school. And a local Roman Catholic named Daniel Gallagher helped David learn the Latin necessary for the medical exam. And in time, David saved enough money to study medicine and theology in a larger city nearby. All because of the influence, inspiration, and assistance of devoted people of faith in his life, David, with persistence and devotion, was able to experience a kind of earthly redemption as he indeed became a medical missionary. With his tenacity and fierce devotion, his zeal for study of God's Word, and his compassion for others, David's work became world-renowned, for you may know his name. It was David Livingstone. He became world-famous as the first European to traverse across the southern continent of Africa, sharing medical aid and the gospel message to tribes throughout Africa, while also being the first European to discover what we know as Victoria Falls and the headwaters of the Nile River. David was guided on a pathway of redemption for himself first and then for others as he became a missionary that inspired others to experience the Lord Jesus Christ. So redemption not only was in the spiritual for him, it was also in the here and now, right? Norma grew up in the slums of Seattle, Washington. Kids at her school teased her unmercifully because of her shabby clothes, especially as one girl realized that Norma was wearing the shoes that that girl had given away to charity. Norma's father had been a concert violinist, but when his hands were mangled in an accident, he turned to drink. In despair, Norma's mother soon followed her husband into drinking, and the family with the three children were thrown into relentless poverty. Because of her own large, clumsy fingers, Norma knew she could never be a concert violinist, but she was, in fact, good enough that at the high school level, she was able to be in the school orchestra. And there, Mr. Carl Pitzer was her music teacher. Noticing Norma's shy and apprehensive personality, Mr. Pitzer encouraged Norma in every way he could. First, he noticed how well she could sight read, and this prompted Norma to try even harder. Then Mr. Pitzer asked about singing, wondering if Norma had sang in any choirs. And of course, she said she hadn't, and yet he encouraged her to join him and the others who were a part of the choir at the University Christian Church in Seattle, Washington. It was one of our own congregations in the Christian Church, Disciples of Christ. Concerning the worship experience, Norma once said, "Every time we rose to sing in church, my heart soared and I always felt better than I was." By the time Norma reached her senior year in high school, she was asked to be a featured soloist. The experience was wondrous for Norma, yet she was horribly embarrassed when she realized that her parents showed up for the service, but they were hungover with drink. Yet as Pastor Hastings shared a message about God being our refuge and strength, a tested help in time of trouble, Norma knew that she could hold her head high, pray for her parents' well-being, and experience hope for a new day, a day of redemption. And although she remained a rather shy person because of the influence of her teacher and because of the welcoming encouragement of the folks there at University Christian Church, Norma was able to move beyond the captivity of poverty of her childhood years. And in time, both of her parents also became sober and healthy. Maybe at some point, you may have heard Norma sing. It would have been some time ago on television. For Norma was Norma Zimmer. For 22 years, she was known as the Champagne Lady on what? The Lawrence Welk Show. Norma was guided by others toward redemption for herself so that she could become a path of inspiration for her parents and for others. Both stories of David and Norma reveal the power of redemption in people's lives, even in the here and now. Their stories remind us that with the blessing of God's guidance and the help of other people of faith, pathways of redemption are indeed possible, no matter what circumstances we may come from. We know, for example, even in the New Testament, the story of Paul. You know, here he had been an enemy of Christ, out there trying to destroy what he thought was simply a sect of Judaism that needed to be destroyed, and yet there on the road to Damascus, his life was transformed, was it not? And he went from being an enemy to an evangelist for our Lord Jesus Christ. And even of his own life, Paul declares in Galatians chapter 1, verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So even though we focus more on some personal stories in more current times rather than on biblical stories today, these stories I've lifted up to you, I hope help each of us to experience encouragement in the truth that no matter what our circumstances are, we can be what? Redeemed. Not only in the spiritual realm, but we can be redeemed in the here and now. Sometimes we need to be redeemed from bad habits that are destroying our lives and potentially the lives of those closest to us. Sometimes we need to be redeemed from the influences of bad actors that compel us to continually go astray and become involved in behaviors that can be destructive, evil, or even illegal. And on other occasions, we simply need to grasp onto the inspiring guidance that people of faith can give us so that we can find our way toward God and truly experience both an earthly and a spiritual redemption. Right? Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29 in the Old Testament tells us, "You will seek the Lord your God and you will find him if you search after him with all your heart and with all your soul." Matthew chapter 7, verse 8 also states, "For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, that door will be opened." And so I ask you, where are you in your life? Where are you in your life's journey? Are you in need of redemption, not only in the spiritual realm, but even redemption in this day-to-day living? God's Spirit, God's guidance is there to equip you and to help you on that journey to truly experience redemption in the here and now and also in the hereafter. Our hymn of invitation I extend to you this morning. Maybe today is your day to come forward and accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. Maybe today is your day to come forward and become a part of our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. Our hymn of invitation, number 550, "There's Within My Heart a Melody." We'll sing stanzas 1, 3, and 5, please.
There's within my heart a melody, Jesus whispers sweet and low. "Fear not, I am with thee, peace be still, in all of life's ebb and flow. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Feasting on the riches of his grace, resting neath his sheltering wing, always looking on his smiling face, that is why I shout and sing. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Soon he's coming back to welcome me, far beyond the starry sky. I shall wing my flight to worlds unknown, I shall reign on him on high. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go.
If you would have a seat for a moment, please, we want to celebrate the fact that Linda Rapp has decided to come forward and become a part of our fellowship. She is making a transfer of her membership from the Hillsboro Christian Church. And Linda, we have certainly appreciated your presence with us over the last several months. And you know, as you and I have visited, I know you've had a lot of challenges in your life in recent years, you know, with the passing of your husband and then your one of your sons being so ill and having to deal with so many disabilities in such a short period of time. But I know that you have found great faith and reassurance in your relationship with God, right? Right, Linda, we praise God. That was the case for you and David and your journey together. And we hope that as you become a part of our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church, that you will indeed feel a great sense of friendship and renewal with us as we all strive to find that redemption for ourselves, even in the here and now, right? And so, Linda, based upon your confession of faith and your previous baptism, I want to extend the hand of Christian fellowship, and I want to welcome you into our membership here at Berry Christian Church, Linda. Bless you. Let's give Linda a wrap. Praise God. Praise God. I hope you'll take a moment to greet Linda at the door as we depart, but also remember, right after the service today, we do have our time of fellowship downstairs in the fellowship hall. That's why a number of our folks in the outreach committee are not here in the sanctuary, because I know they've been downstairs getting things ready. But we've got that spaghetti dinner for lunch today. Again, it is a fundraiser for our weekend backpack ministry that supports the needs of so many children for all the weeks of the school year. And again, as we've said before, our church has been involved in that task, especially with the support of the Thomas family for well over 20 years. So please join us and support that ministry. Again, it costs about $400 a month for us to continue that ministry month after month. May we have a word of prayer. Lord God, as we indeed welcome Linda into our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church, we pray that she indeed may experience the fullness of your presence in our fellowship with one another, indeed, as your Holy Spirit abides with her in a most significant way, to offer to her strength, renewal, and hope in all things. For it is indeed in Christ that all of us are redeemed. Guide us as we journey forward with the new week. May we always strive to be about your service day to day. It is in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Won't you please stand for the closing song? Thank you, Linda. You want to come into the back with me?
Let us now depart in thy peace, blessed Jesus. Send to us our homes with God's love in our hearts. Let not the busy world claim all our loyalties. Keep us ever mindful, dear Lord, of Thee. Let us now depart in Thy peace, blessed Jesus. Send to us our homes with God's love in our hearts. Let not the busy world claim all our loyalties. Keep us ever mindful, dear Lord.